Then you move on.
When I finished that program in neurological surgery, when I finished all the program, you have to have neuropathology, neurophysiology, and clinical neurology. At that time, OU didn't offer it. We had one of the best programs in neurological surgery in the country, one of the oldest. Dr. Wilkins came there in 1931 from St. Louis, where he trained with Ernest Sachs, rather famous guy, the first professor of neurological surgery in the world, Washington U, St. Louis, 1920. He didn't worry much about his salary there. If they needed some new equipment, they told him, we don't have it in the budget. The next day, the equipment was there. His mother's name was Goldman. His father's name was Sachs. His parents owned the largest investment bank in the world. He didn't tell anyone about this, really. If they needed a new anesthetic machine, the next week, it was there. He just paid for it out of his pocket. But Ernest Sachs was the first professor of neurological surgery in the world. None in Europe, no chair in Europe, no chair in America until 1920 at WashU. Dr. Wilkins studied with him. He was an excellent teacher. He was very fond of Dr. Wilkins. In fact, asked him to stay there with him at WashU. And Dr. Wilkins thought, better, I'd like to go out on my own, and came to Oklahoma City in 1931 as professor of neurological surgery. The closest neurosurgeon south, there weren't any. The closest neurosurgeon southeast, Edgar Fincher in Atlanta. The closest neurosurgeon to the north, Ernest Sachs, WashU, St. Louis. The closest neurosurgeon to the east, Harvey Cushing, Johns Hopkins, and then Boston. The closest neurosurgeon to the west, Howard Nafziger in San Francisco. There were no neurosurgeons in L.A. in 1931. In 1934, Carl Rand came to L.A. The first neurosurgeon in Los Angeles was Carl Rand, and when Gershwin was operated in 1937 there, Nafziger came down from San Francisco and worked with Carl Rand on a glioma. George Gershwin, the great musical composer, had a glioblastoma, became ill with headaches and losing memory. And these two neurosurgeons, the only two in the state, by the way, worked on Gershwin in 1937 in L.A.
Was that procedure successful?
It was a successful procedure, but it's a highly malignant tumor. You cannot extirpate it all, so you have to give radiotherapy. It's so invasive that it's almost impossible to completely remove a glioblastoma. Usually it's followed by X-ray therapy or chemotherapy. In those days, neither was very well developed.
That was in the 30s.
1937, when he was operated there.
So was this a form of cancer?
Yes, sir. It's the most malignant cancer of the brain. It's called glioblastoma multiforme.
How long did George Gershwin live beyond that?
A few months.
Okay.
Just a few months. He was gone. So Dr. Wilkins had arrived in Oklahoma City in 31.
Yeah.
And he had the whole central part of the United States, because there weren't any neurosurgeons around.
And so when you made the decision to be a neurosurgeon, there were very few in the country at that time.
I went to the first neurosurgical meeting in 1957 in Washington, D.C. All the neurosurgeons in the world were in the auditorium. There were 300.
In the entire world?
Yes, sir. There were 300 neurosurgeons in the world in 1957. Now there are 3,000 in California alone.
So if somebody had come out of University of Oklahoma Medical School to go into neurosurgery, was a first?
There weren't many. I was the 11th one that Dr. Wilkins trained, and in his whole lifetime, he trained 20 men.